به انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: قد أفلح المؤمنون. صلوات We have been discussing the subject of the Day of Judgment and certain less told or rarely talked about aspects of the Day of Judgment in the previous speeches. And like I promised in the beginning, that in the final days I would talk about the solution to find a successful future on the Day of Judgment. So we find that somebody came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and asked him, Bima yu'raful mu'min annahu mu'minun. How a mu'min can be known that he is a mu'min? How can you recognize a mu'min to be a mu'min? And Imam responded that a mu'min can be recognized by taslim, bittaslime wa rida bima قسم الله أو بما ورد عليه من سرور أو سخط بالتسليم والرضا بما ورد عليه من سرور أو سخط. So we understand that a mu'min could be recognized by these two fundamental qualities which is to be found in every mu'min, and a mu'min is never supposed to miss out on these two qualities. The first is taslim, which is the subject of my speech tonight, which is the first solution to become successful on the Day of Judgment. And the second, inshallah, that I would talk tonight, tomorrow night, about the rida, which is the second solution. What's the meaning of taslim that makes us successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Quran has announced that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and we find that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam once asked one of his companions that, do you know who are the mu'minun? Because Allah has said in this verse of Holy Quran that the mu'mins got succeeded. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the mu'mins got succeeded. Who are the mu'minun? Who are the mu'mins talked about? Who are the mu'mins? And the guy said, well, you know better. And Imam said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْمُسَلِّمُونَ. Those mu'mins who have the quality of taslim in their soul. Those who have taslim. So we must understand what taslim is. And when we turn to Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that al-islamu huwa taslim. والتسليم هو التصديق والتصديق هو اليقين واليقين هو الأداء والأداء هو العمل إن المؤمن أخذ دينه عن ربه ولم يأخذه عن رأيه. What a great statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The more I read this statement, the more I enjoy, although all his statements are great. Al-Islamu huwa at-tasleem. Here we find Imam Ali al-Islam is defining Islam. What's the definition of Islam? Lots of people are stuck in the definition of Islam. They still could not go through, could not understand and realize and cross these levels to understand what Islam is all about, what it takes to be a Muslim in the dictionary of Imam Ali and dictionary of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. What to talk of reaching to the level of Iman. Remember what Imam Sadiq I told you, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْمُسَلِّمُونَ. Those mu'mins got succeeded who are musallimun. That means who have taslim. Not just everybody who claims to be a mu'min. If you are a mu'min, you need to have taslim if you want to succeed. And all those who have taslim in them got succeeded. Allah has already announced in the light of the tafsir done by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So, Imam Ali is defining Islam for us. Al-Islamu huwa taslim. Islam is nothing but taslim. Islam is taslim. Taslim means surrendering yourself to the command of God. Surrendering yourself and submission to the call of Haqq, to the command of Haqq, to the command of Allah. Al-Islamu huwa at-tasleem. Wa at-tasleemu huwa at-tasdeeq. And surrendering yourself to the command of Allah is nothing but certifying. Wa at-tasdeequ huwa al-yaqeen. And certifying is yaqeen and certitude. So all those people who have submission to the command of Allah are the ones who certify. And those who certify are the ones who have yaqeen and certitude. Wal yaqeenu huwa al-ada. And yaqeen is performing. And performance, wal ada'u huwa al-amal, is acting, doing. Innal mu'min. And then he said, Innal mu'min akhadha deenahu an rabbihi walam ya'khudhu an ra'yihi. Mu'min takes his religion from his Lord, not according to his own opinion. Anybody who takes who follows his own opinions has nothing to do with God. Because the essence of being a mu'min is that we surrender and submit ourselves to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and construct and build our opinions according to the opinion of Allah. If we are ready to submit, if we are ready to surrender ourselves to the call of Haqq, from whomsoever we may listen Haqq, whosoever the person may be, regardless of who is telling you, if it is Haqq, from whichever direction you may listen to Haqq, are you ready to accept it? At any period of your life, are you ready to accept Haqq and embrace Haqq and embrace the word of God? Then we can be called a Muslim. Because al-Islamu huwa at-tasleem. Islam is nothing but submitting yourself to the command of Allah. Islam is not defined by Amir al-Mu'mineen as being born to Muslim parents. Nowhere can you find an entire Quran or the Ahadith of Ahlul Bayt that a Muslim is someone, you know, on the Day of Judgment, a Muslim will be somebody who was born back then in the life of dunya, born to Muslim parents. So necessarily, he has to be successful on the Day of Judgment because just he was born to Muslim parents. We don't find any such statement. If we want to succeed, we want to be called a Muslim, we need to have submission. If we look at this definition of Imam Ali, which is actually the best definition of Islam, we find so many people disqualifying to be called a Muslim. So many people. Why do you find as soon as Prophet passed away, we find there were 12 people accepting and remaining on the bay'at of Imam Ali alayhi salam and not accepting and endorsing the government of Zalimeen? And that's mentioned in the hadith of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, when somebody asked him that did everybody accept or were there some people who remained on the bay'at of Imam Ali alayhi salam? And Imam Baqir explained, no, there were six people, there were 12 people, six from Muhajireen and six from Ansar, who actually remained on the bay'at of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So it's a matter of our interests. Those lots of people claim to be Muslims in the time of the Holy Prophet. Lots of people claim to be very nice people. What is the test? Are they ready to submit to Haqq? Submit to the command of Allah? Despite it may harm their personal interest in the life of this dunya? Are we ready to go to do that? Because those people back then in the life of the Holy Prophet or after the Holy Prophet, they also used to claim the same religion that we are claiming. But when it comes to the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, they failed to support this concept. Salawat. Now you understand what the Prophet has said, that Aliyun ma'al haqq wal haqqu ma'a Aliyin yaduru ma'ahu haythu dar. Ali is with Haqq and Haqq is with Ali. Haqq goes wherever Ali goes. Now you understand what Prophet said, Anta Mizanul A'mal. You are the criteria, you are the yardstick to measure all the actions. Every action done by all the humans and jinns is measured by the yardstick of the walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen. What is your behavior towards the concept of government of Imam Ali and the obligations towards this concept? Are you fulfilling your obligations towards the concept of Imam Ali today? Anta Mizanul A'mal. You, the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, is the mizan and criteria and the scale of all the actions. Now you understand what the Prophet said, Lawlaka lama yu'raful mu'minuna haqqan. If you were not there, the mu'mins would not have been recognized truly. How can we be able to recognize who is exactly a mu'min and who is not? We look at their behavior towards the walayat of Imam Ali. That's how we recognize who is a mu'min and who is not. And they all did the bayat of Imam Ali, but then in the men, among those who were in the city of Medina, we are finding in the hadith of Imam Baqir al-Islam, there were just 12 people remaining on the bay'at of Imam Ali, and all the rest went towards dunya. Well, if there was somebody who did the tawbah before death, of course Allah is there to accept, and Allah accepts the tawbah if it is done according to the conditions. But all the rest of the people were deviated. So Imam Ali is the yardstick of understanding. Al-Islam huwa al-Taslim. And the law applies to us and the others equally. Any and every sect of Islam. Because anta mizanul a'mal is mutlaq and absolute in its capacity. No one is exempt from that statement. Everybody's yardstick is Imam Ali's walayat. On one side, So we find on one side, Imam Ali alayhi salam's prayers would be presented. On other side, my prayers would be presented. How much similarity does my prayers has towards the prayers of Imam Ali alayhi salam? What we call sinhiyat, similarity, musanakhat, likenesses. On one side is the fasting of Imam Ali. On other side, it's my fasts. On one side is the Hajj of Imam Ali. On other side, it would be my Hajj. On one side is the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar of Imam Ali. On the other side is the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar of mine. So, what is the similarity? On one side is the belief of Imam Ali about Tawheed, and other side is the belief of me about Tawheed. Belief of Imam Ali towards the Day of Judgment and Risalat and all those Islamic beliefs. And on the other side, it's my beliefs. What is my behavior? How am I behaving and how am I believing? Our amal, our aqa'id are will be judged according to his. So we find that Prophet, in the time of the Holy Prophet, a woman came and she was fasting and she did ghibat in front of the Holy Prophet. She did the ghibat, backbiting. And Prophet said, eat this food. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm fasting. Prophet said, what kind of fast do you have that you are doing ghibat? Inna siyama laysa min at-ta'am wa sharab. Fasting is not only to abstain from eating and drinking. What sort of fast do you have that now you're doing ghibat on one hand and then you claim and come up and say, well, I'm fasting? It doesn't add up. And what Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha has said in her hadith, ma yasna'u as-sa'imu bisawmihi ma lam yasun sam'ahu wa basarahu wa lisanahu. What the sa'im, the person who is fasting, what the sa'im is going to do with his fast when he could not control his ears, his eyes, and his tongue? What benefit can you expect from such a fast? It's just wastage of your, you know, it's nothing, it's no fast actually. So on one side, my prayers, my fast, my Hajj will be put. On the other side, it would be Imam Ali's, because he's the scale. Prophet asked, you know, Prophet sent Abu Bakr to read the Suratul Bara'at on the occasion of Hajj, and then Jibreel arrived, and Prophet, by the command of Allah, took the Suratul Bara'at back from Abu Bakr bin Abi Quhafa and handed over to Imam Ali alayhi salam by the command of God. And Imam Ali recited the Suratul Bara'at on the face of Mushrikeen. That's the sunnah of the Prophet, that's the sunnah of Imam Ali, which we do not want to do when we go for Hajj. We stay in our camps. We are not ready to announce our disassociation from the Mushrikeen. So on one side, my Hajj would be placed. On the other side, the Hajj of Imam Ali would be placed. Does my Hajj have any similarity with his Hajj? I am ready to butter up the enemies to save my life and compromise on all those values of Islam for the sake of such less benefits. You know, Imam Sadr al-Islam has said, Shibrum min al-Jannah khairum min al-Dunya wa ma fiha. One hand span of paradise is better than the whole world and all what is in it. Can you compare the benefits of this dunya with the benefits of akhirat? These are silly people. They are stupids who consider the benefits of akhirat, who ignore the benefits of akhirat for the sake of few pennies. So, we need to have musanakhat, sinkhiyat, similarity with Imam Ali alayhi salam's a'mal. The more similar, nobody can become like him. That's out of question. the more similarity we can gain, the better our amal would be considered in the eyes of Allah. The more similarity our beliefs gain, the more honor and dignity we would gain before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-Islam huwa at-taslim, we must be ready to accept haq, accept the truth, accept the command of Allah. You know, the Prophet said that أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ كَالْتَّبِيبِ أَنْتُمْ كَالْمَرْضَى وَرَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ كَالْتَّبِيبِ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ was not there, it's for me. أَنْتُمْ كَالْمَرْضَى وَرَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ كَالْتَّبِيبِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doctor and you are like patients. What a great example. You are like patients and Allah, the Lord of the universe, is like a doctor. فَصَلَاحُ الْمَرْضَى So the benefit of the patients, فِيمَا يَعْلَمُهُ الطَّبِيبُ وَتَدْبِيرِهِ The benefit of the patients lies in what the doctor knows and what plan he provides for you, for your cure. In other words, that's the best, that's your benefit. لَا فِيمَا يَشْتَهِيهِ الْمَرِيضِ وَيَقْتَرِحُهُ The benefit of patients is not what they wish to do. Whatever desires they may have, and whatever suggestions they may have, and opinions they may have, their opinions and suggestions and desires will never provide the cure to their solutions, to their, you know, diseases and sicknesses. If we need to find a cure, our salah and maslahat and betterment lies in what Allah knows and what plan He has for us. Ala fasallimu lillahi amrahu takunu min al-fa'izin. So surrender your affairs in the hands of Allah and you would become successful. You want to be successful? Surrender your affairs. Submit yourself to the command of Allah. Do what He's commanding. Let's take the sickness of the mind out. Those sick ideas off our minds once and for all. Intellectualism. There are no less people out there in our communities who start considering themselves to be intellectual enough to challenge the law of their creators and have making their own opinions about Islam. And then they consider their own understandings and opinions to be authentic. You know, Quran has said that إِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا When Quran is recited, listen to it. وَأَنْصِتُوا And do insaat. What does insaat mean? My teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi, Amuli, Hafizahullah, was saying that insaat refers to the fact, do we make our opinion in the presence of the opinion of Allah? Or are we ready to surrender ourselves to the opinion of God? When I turn to the Holy Quran, when I open up the Holy Quran, do I read the Holy Quran? Do I learn from the Holy Quran by already making up my opinions already? And just open up the Quran to find out justifications for my pre-existing opinions? Or I turn to the Holy Quran to form my opinions? What is my behavior? If I have already made up my opinions and then I read the Holy Quran, this is against the concept of insaat. Then I did not act on the Holy Verse. We are not supposed to make up our opinions and then turn to the Holy Quran. This is not the behavior of believers. There is no, not at all submission to the command of Allah. So, we find that it's better, it's in our benefit if we surrender to Allah. Because human is a combination of two things, the body and the soul. So when he has a body and the soul, we need a guidance for the advancement of our spirituality. And any kind of instructions which we may think are beneficial for us that have not arrived from God's behalf, is misguidance and cannot be called as guidance. Because no one in the whole world can provide you guidance about your soul. They can barely talk about certain things of the body, and that's also not perfect, not complete, based on experiments, which can always be proved wrong after several years, or sometimes. So we better turn to our Creator. But then they come up and say, the human being doesn't is not created with instruction manual. What else the Holy Quran is? Holy Quran is the instruction manual for a human. Like the example I constantly give in my speeches, over and over again, that just like if you buy a TV set from the market, you buy a Sony television, for example, from the market, the manufacturer provides a brochure with its product, mentioning all the do's and do nots. How to behave with this product, what not to do, don't open the backside of the TV, warning, you know, risk of electric shock, do not open. No matter how much intellectual you may be, no matter how many degrees you may have grabbed from any Islamic university, any university, you know, any Western university, you will never find any, you know, quote-unquote intellectuals, self-claimed intellectuals come up and say, who is the Sony company to guide me or dictate me what I'm supposed to do with this television? Because I'm intellectual enough to do what I want to do. No. No matter what degree you may have grabbed from whatever university, Oxford or Cambridge or Yale or Berkeley or Harvard or Sorbonne or you name it. But you have an expertise in one of your fields to some extent only. You can never become better than the manufacturer of the product. The manufacturer knows its product best. You never find an intellectual coming up and challenging the booklet, brochure provided by the manufacturer of the television. Human is the product of Allah. And the whole universe is the product of God. And we are supposed to turn to our Creator to let us know how we are supposed to behave towards ourselves, towards others, towards all the rest of the existences, and towards God on top of all and His representatives. That makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. But unfortunately, we find lots of people in different communities. Well, this guy is a doctor, he's an accountant, he's an engineer, he's a whatever. But everybody comes up and expresses his opinion about Islam as if he's the final word and Quran was revealed on his soul. And he's no less than some Allama Tuddahr expressing their opinions about Islam as the final word. Those people who are sitting in the houses, are they as fools, na'uzubillah, studying, spending their entire life, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, learning and teaching Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, but this guy can just go to Oxford and Cambridge or Yale or whatever, and he can still equally become an expert of Quran, and express his opinions about Islam as the final word. And this all is happening about our Muslim Islam. It's not happening about a TV, it's not happening about a camcorder, it's not happening about anything else. It's all happening about Islam. The same amanat of Imam Hussein that we mourn every year over and over again. This is our behavior towards the mission of Imam Hussein today. So Prophet had already told us, Allah, sallimu, fasallimu lillahi amrahu. You need to surrender your affairs, charge of your affairs in the hands of Allah. And you would become successful. Abdullah ibn Sanan al-Kufi, very great companion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, an authentic and siqa person, says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to me, and that's narrated by Sheikh Saduq in Kitab al-Khisal, a very great book of Sheikh Saduq. It's a one-volume book. So, Abdullah ibn Sanan says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to me, Shubhatun satusibukum, fatakunu bila alamin yura, wala imamin huda. A musibat, a problem, in other words, not the exact translation, but I'm telling in my own words, a problem or a shubha is going to affect you, so you guys would remain without an obvious alam, an obvious flag. You don't know where to go. فَتَبْكُونَ بِلَا عَلَمٍ يُرَى وَلَا إِمَامٍ هُدَى وَلَا يَنْجُو مِنْهَا إِلَّا مَنْ دَعَى بِالدُّعَاءِ الْغَرِيقِ. And no one is gonna be successful in that problem that would arrive to the Islamic Ummah except the one who reads the dua of غَرِيق, dua of someone who is drowning. And then Imam started reading the dua, Ya Allahu, Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahimu, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Sabbit Qaldi ala Deenika. That's the dua that Imam recited in front of me, and as soon as he was done, I started repeating after the Imam, Ya Allahu, Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahimu, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, and I added a word here, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Wal Absar, Sabbit Qaldi ala Deenik. Imam said to me, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُقَلِّبُ الْقُلُوبِ وَالْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ قُلْ كَمَا أَقُولُ. That's the Mabmoon al-Riwayah. It's true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is مُقَلِّبُ الْقُلُوبِ and مُقَلِّبُ الْأَبْصَارِ both. Because we find actually the word absar added in some of those duas, like in the dua of the day of Nowruz. You know, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub wal-Absar, Ya Mudabbir al-Layli wal-Nahar, Ya Muhawwil al-Hawl wal-Ahwal, Hawwil halana ila ahsan al-Hal. Very small and very nice dua, which is mustahab to be recited on the day of Nowruz, which is not a day of Eid, which is just a day which has certain amal. Nowruz is not the Eid day. It was the Eid of Majus and Zoroastrians, which has to be corrected in our societies. Those who commemorate this day as a day of Eid, it's not the day of Eid. It's a day which has certain amal, like several other days have certain amal. No one can call it an Eid day. So, Mamun al-Rashid invited Imam Qazim alayhi salam to sit in the... to sit in his palace and greet those recently converted Zoroastrians who converted into Islam, to greet them on the day of Nowruz and celebrate the day of Nowruz as Eid. And Imam Qazim al-Islam said that this was the day, in other words, that was the celebration of Majus, Zoroastrians, wa mahahul Islam, and Islam came and erased this tradition. It's narrated by Allama Majlisi. Wa ma'azallahi an nuhyiya ma mahahul Islam. We seek the refuge of Allah to make something alive, something which has been killed by Islam, which has been removed by Islam, to make it alive once again. You would never do that, in other words. So what I was telling you, in some of the du'as we have the word muqallib al-qulub wal-absar also available, in some of the du'as, but not everywhere. Our du'as are like the mafatih, miftah, towards the skies, the heavens. Such a nice name given by Allah, Muhaddis, you know, Qummi, to this miftah, mafatihul jinan. Very nice and suitable name to the book of du'as. Because our scholars say, du'as are like, you know, the keys to the heaven. If you make a little bit changes in the design of the key, it's not going to fit into the hole. And you cannot open the lock. You cannot get what you want to achieve. So we are not supposed to alter, to change the du'as. Not even to in the slightest way. So Imam Sadiq al-Islam said to Abdullah ibn Sanan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muqallib al-qulub wal-absar. But, قُلْ كَمَا أَقُولُ, say like I am saying. That's why our scholars said, don't even add a single word into the du'as of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. You may not strike the goal and ambition of the dua. Every dua has a benefit. Some people try to become over smart. What if we, instead of saying, reading 100 times, you know, 34 times, Allahu Akbar, 33 times, Alhamdulillah, 33 times, Subhanallah. What if we read 100 times each of those three? Well, you can read 100 times, you can read a million times after after you are done with the prayers, read as much as you want. It's the zikr of Allah, no doubt. But after the prayers, you are supposed to read it 34 times, 33 only. Not more than that. Don't try to be over smart. What the Prophet and Imams have told us, they are all wise. They are the mazhar of Allah who is all wise. My teacher, you know, used to say this example in his lesson, very nice example. He said, let's suppose if somebody asks you, from here you walk 100 steps in this direction, let's suppose north, northeast, for example, in this direction 100 steps, and then you dig up, you're going to find a treasure. So what if you walk 105 steps and dig up, will you find a treasure? Never can you find a treasure. So let's not try to be over smart and try to outfox Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. It is not intellectualism, brothers and sisters, to use our opinions to alter the teachings of those glorious personalities who have connection with the world of ghaib. This is not smartness, this is stupidity. But there are no less intellectual so-called self-proclaimed available in our societies who are doing these kinds of stuff and still consider themselves to be pious. So what I was telling you is Imam Kazim alayhi salam, and that's narrated by Sheikh Saduq in Kitab al-Khisal, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to Abdullah ibn Sanan al-Kufi that قُلْ كَمَا أَقُولُ. The second riwayat about Taslim. We are talking about Taslim, submitting ourselves to the command of Allah and to Haqq. The second example, Ismail ibn Fadl says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to me, you know, I was talking about the فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ تُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. This verse of Holy Quran, I was talking, you know, to Imam about this verse. You know, you do the tasbih of Allah, you know, tasbih in the name of Allah before the sunrise and, before the sunrise and before the sunset. In other words, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to me that فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. It's a fariza and duty on every Muslim to read لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. When Imam recited, you know, it's fariza on every Muslim to say 10 times before the sun rises and 10 times before the sun sets to read this dua. And when Imam recited again, Ismail ibn Fazl did the same what Abdullah ibn Sanan did. He repeated the dua after the Imam, and he added another word, yuhyi wa yumit, and then he added wa yumit wa yuhyi, which is found in the dua of Wahdat that we read after the Isha prayers. And Imam Sadiq said to Ismail ibn Fazl, Ya Hada, Inna Allah yuhyi wa yumit wa yuhyi, walakin qul kama akul. It's true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes alive and makes dead and makes dead and makes alive. But say how I am saying. Don't add a word into the dua. Don't distort the entire theme and the entire ambition of the dua. Person is not going to reach his ambitions if he distorts the statements of the Holy Prophet Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So we find our scholars always emphasize, never alter the words of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. When you want to seek dua, these are the keys to istijabat, to acceptance. Never try to alter. So we were talking about Taslim. They do not agree for us even to change in our supplications, to change the words in which we address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What to talk about the ahkam? There's no question about that. What to talk about the decisions of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt in different occasions, political or social, or disputes in the society, conflicts of in the society. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Swear of your Lord, these people are not, never, they would, in other words, they would never be, you know, never be the believers. until they agree to the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the decisions of His Prophet. Until they agree to the decisions of the Prophet. Whatever Prophet has done in his lifetime, I am born in this time, I'm told that Prophet in this and this year has done this and this political stance in this issue, social or political or family dispute or any conflict that occurred in his lifetime. I, in this time, heard about a decision made by Imam Ali alayhi salam back then several hundred years ago. He made this and this and this decision in such and such political, social, issue in the society. What is my behavior towards his decisions? Do I consider his decisions to be final? Or I start objecting on what Imam Ali has done back then, what the Holy Prophet has done, what Imam Hassan has done, what Imam Hussein has done. There were also some people in those days, like they are today, who used to object on Imam Ali alayhi salam. Na'uzu billah that Imam Ali doesn't have the political basirat and insight and awareness. He would have appointed Muawiyah as a governor from his behalf in Syria. True that Muawiyah claimed to be the ruler of Syria, he declared his own government instead of accepting the government of Imam Ali in Kufa, the central government, and accepting Imam Ali to be the Khalifa. He declared his own government in Syria. It would be wise for Imam Ali to appoint Muawiyah as his governor in Syria, at least to calm down the situation for some time. Ali didn't have siyasat and basirat. Na'uzu billah min zalik. Because we think we are intellectuals. We have more, intellect and genius than Imam Ali alayhi salam. Look at what Quran has already announced. I already told you we cannot outsmart the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. We cannot outsmart Allah. It's not the matter. The difference, brothers and sisters, is that at Islam, we are running an Islamic organization, we are running an Islamic government, we are doing the Islamic services in our masjids and Husainiyah and Imam Baraz. We are not just running any organization so that any sort of politics, dirty or positive, are allowed. We are running Islamic organizations. We need to stay within the limits of the tenets of Islam and Quran. And that is all wise. To obey Allah and never to violate, because we are not running any organization, we are running an Islamic organization. We are not having any kind of government, halal, haram, both are permitted, we are having an Islamic government, we stand for justice. It's not that he didn't have the insight, he said, لَوْلَا تُقَى لَكُنْتُ مِنْ أَدْهَلْ عَرَبْ If taqwa was not there, I would have been the smartest of all those Arabs. It's not that he couldn't do what Muawiyah was doing, those evil plots and negative politics. We cannot do lots of things because we have taqwa. We need to have taqwa, we are accountable before Allah. We cannot just go to any limits just for the sake of our national or political interests. This is un-Islamic. But some people used to object on him. Let them do. Who cares? We don't care about them, we care about God. So we find that Salman was sitting and there was a bunch of companions sitting around Salman. Someone who belonged to the 10th level of Iman. Not an ordinary person. As-Salman minna ahlal bayt. They were sitting and with a bunch of companions, other companions along with him. And everybody was praising himself, introducing himself with words. I'm so and so, introducing himself with very nice words, out of pride, possibly. And then they came to Salman, Salman's turn arrived. They asked Salman, why don't you introduce yourself? And Salman said, Ana Ibnul Islam. No need for me to, talk about exaggerated bragging words about my personal self. I am the son of Islam. That was the place when Prophet heard this remark. That was the time when Prophet said, As-Salman minna ahlal bayt. We need to come out of this animalistic, beastly behavior. We are intellectuals. We are awarded with intellect. We are humans. Abu Zar went once visited Salman at his place, at Salman's place. He saw Salman, a very simple person. He had no, you know, those things that we have, you know, in our lifestyles. What sort of pillow I would buy for me? I won't sleep until I have that sort of pillow, you know. And what sort of bed and what sort of mattress and what sort of bedrooms and what sort of curtains do I need to have? Otherwise I cannot be comfortable. No. Salman had a very simple life. He was a true companion of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and true follower of them. He was part of Ahlul Bayt by the hadith of the Holy Prophet. As-Salman minna Ahlul Bayt. So, Abu Zar visited his place and he found there was a stove, there was some fire, and he has put a bowl. He was baking some, cooking some food. All of a sudden the bowl, you know, fell down. Nothing dropped out of the bowl. All what was the food that was inside that was cooking, it did not drop. Not even a single drop fell outside on the ground. Abu Salman picked it up like this and put it back. It again dropped, and again nothing dropped out of it. It is a liquid food being cooked, and nothing is falling out. And it dropped for the second time. Salman picked it up and put it back very comfortably. Abu Zar was shocked, spellbound. He could not understand what's going on. He came out of the house of Salman and he met Imam Ali al-Islam outside. And he told Imam Ali what he saw with his eyes. That was the level of Salman. So he told Imam Ali al-Islam, and look what Imam Ali said, that if you understood, in other words, I'm explaining in my own words, if you understood what level Salman belongs to, you would say, Rahim Allahu Qatila Salman. May Allah have mercy on the Qatil of Salman, on the killer of Salman. How much difference is there between the 10th level and the 9th level? Abu Zar is unable to comprehend the level of Salman. Why do the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt did not teach Abu Zar what they have taught Salman? Are they a miser? Are they bakhil? Not at all. There are Sakhi ibn Sakhi, Sakhi ibn al-Askhiya, Kareem ibn al-Kurama. Because we are not, those who belong to whatever level deserve to read, to receive something of that level. The higher your level of Tasleem, that is the subject of our speech, is the higher your level of submission to the command of Allah and towards Haqq is, the higher you would be awarded. Stop expecting to receive more if you don't have if that sort of tasleem in you. That would be injustice towards the knowledge, because Imam Ali has said, لا تعلق الجواهر في أعناق الخنازير. Do not hang the jewels in the necks of the pigs. And this hadith is narrated by, I always mention the references so that our youth, our elders, they get familiar with our books of hadith. It's narrated by Shaheed As-Sani, rahmatullah alayhi, our great scholar and marji from Lubnan, in his book Munyatul Murid. Don't hang the jewels in the necks of the pigs, Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam has said. Sadaqa Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam. He said the truth. And Shaheed As-Sani, our great marji from Lubnan, doing the tashreeh, an explanation, he says, Imam Ali means, don't teach the knowledge to those who do not deserve it. Not everything can be told to everyone. The same Kumail that you read the Dua Kumail every Thursday, so much sawab in Islam. The same Kumail came to Imam Ali and said that, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, Mal Haqiqah? What is the truth? What is the reality? And Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, there are so many realities out there in the universe that we do not see, do not watch because of the hijabat and curtains of sins over our eyes. Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and our great Awliya and Urafa, they don't have those curtains. Depending on the level of the taharat and cleanliness of your soul, the curtains are removed. Allah is not unjust. You get what you deserve, and you don't get what you don't deserve. So, Kumail is not a small person, he is a great companion. But when he asked Imam Ali Islam, Ya Amir al-Mumineen, mal haqiqa? What is the reality? Let me know some of the reality. I should also have a share of reality. Let's get out of this apparent zahir and let's not be stuck in the apparent existences of this material world. Let's get something from the Alamul Malakut, from the unseen world. Let's get a share of it. Let's taste a little bit of the unseen world. Once you step there, everybody would see, even the kuffar, no big deal. The big deal is that before reaching that world, we know and get connection with the world of Malakut a little bit before we get there. That's the big deal. So Imam Ali said to Kumail, the same companion who is not an ordinary person, because the dua like dua Kumail is narrated through him, there's an evidence, not narrated by just anybody. Imam said, Malaka wal haqiqa, what have you to do with the reality? وَلَكِنْ يُرَشَّهُ عَلَيْكَ مَا يَصْفَحُ مِنِّي. The Mazmoon al-Riwayah says that certain drops of what Imam Ali had, certain drops of what he had, reaches the hands of Kumail. Not the real thing, fully. We need to submit ourselves. The more you submit, the more you receive from the realities of the universe. So the Salman is awarded to be among Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And we find this not an injustice, that's what he deserved. That's the level of his tasneem and submission towards Allah, towards Haqq. Not to become stubborn. Although we listen to Haqq over and over again, but we are not ready to alter our opinions. We are not ready to alter our opinions. That's the behavior similar to the behavior of the idol worshippers of Mecca, who used to say to the Holy Prophet when Prophet was preaching Tawheed and Oneness, they used to say, Inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummatin wa inna ala asarihim muqtadun. How can they leave? You know, we have been seeing our ancestors worshipping the same idols. In other words, how can it be that all of our ancestors were doing wrong? We have been doing it since so much, you know, time. And now you, the orphan of Abu Talib, come up and say all of a sudden, all what we are doing is wrong? And Prophet used to say, give me the evidence. Do you have burhan? Do you have evidence in your control? Just because you are doing something, is that the evidence that is correct? We don't have submission. Al-Islam huwa taslim. So we find, in our side, we are not ready to submit on Haqq. Somebody asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about those children who were born, who just died soon after death. Aborted children or those who died soon after their birth, what would be their destiny on the Day of Judgment? Will they be sent to the heaven or the hell? They never had a chance to become baligh, Islamically mature. How would they be judged? I mean, where would they head to? Very nice question. On the Day of Judgment, what would happen to those children who died soon after their birth? And Imam Sadiq al-Islam, there is an answer to every question in Islam. Imam Sadiq al-Islam responded, it's a long hadith that I'm telling you, the gist of that hadith, that Allah on the Day of Judgment, when these people will become Islamically mature and baligh, of course everybody would become it, they're equal to 50,000 years of this world. So you can easily become baligh during 50,000 years. So So as soon as they become baligh, Imam Sadiq said, after that they would be commanded, you know, when they become baligh, they would be commanded to go to hell. Those of them who would submit themselves to the command of Allah and start moving towards the hellfire after receiving the command of Allah and the call of Haqq, they submit themselves to Haqq, they would be stopped and sent to the paradise. And those of them who were hesitant after receiving the command of Allah, they still did not start moving towards the hell, they will be sent to the hell. Now you remember the definition of Imam Ali al-Islam, al-Islam huwa al-Taslim. Islam is submission to God. The teachings of Islam are so harmonious, in sync with each other. You can just take one thing from one side and chip it in on the other side, it works. Everything is compatible and harmonious to each other. Al-Islam huwa al-Taslim. So what's going to benefit us on the Day of Judgment is our Taslim. If we used to submit ourselves to the call of Haqq, to the command of Allah, we are successful. That's the test of our Islam. So we find in time of Imam Sadiq al-Islam, you know, the narrator says that دخلت أم خالد الأبدية على أبي عبد الله عليه السلام. Umm Khalid, there was a lady called Umm Khalid, and she came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and asked him that I have some pain in my stomach and the doctors have recommended me to drink alcohol to seek the cure from this sort of disease. But I hate to drink alcohol for my cure because I have heard your ruling, you Ahlul Bayt's ruling, that you hate alcohol, you don't never allow anybody to drink alcohol. So that's why I never drink it up till now, but I came to double check, you know, to ask from you. And Imam said to the narrator, do you listen? Ala tasma lihadhihi al-mar'a? Do you listen what this woman is saying? Wa hadhihi al-masail, and these issues which she is bringing up? See, that's the level of taslim, which our Imams used to appreciate. Those who had taslim and submission to the word of the Ahlul Bayt, they used to appreciate it a lot. Imam said, لا والله لا آذن لك في قطرة منه. I would not allow you to drink a drop of alcohol. And you would realize the significance of what I have said. إذا بلغت نفسك ها هنا. When your soul reaches this place, he is referring to the time of death. When the time of their death arrives, Sakaratul Maut, and your soul would be taken out by the hands of Malakul Maut, then would be the time you would understand the wisdom what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had said to you, and why did he stop you from drinking alcohol. We need to submit. Another Ravi says that I mentioned to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that we have a person, inna indana rajulan yuqalu lahu Kulayb. His name is Kulayb. Kullama yaji'u ankum shay'un yaqulu ana usallim. Whenever something arrives from your behalf, from behalf of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, any hukum, any ruling arrives from your behalf, his reaction to your statements is that ana usallim, I am ready to do taslim, I am ready to submit to their command, I am ready to accept whatever they have said. That's how he always says. So the people in our community has named him Kulayb al-Taslim. They named him with the word taslim actually. He so much submits to your command. And Imam alayhi salam said, may Allah have mercy on him. He said it twice. How much do they appreciate taslim? Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur says, I said to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that وَاللَّهِ لَوْ فَلَقْتَ رُمَّانَةً بِنِسَّيْنِ وَقُلْتَ أَنَّ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لَقُلْتُ أَنَّ الَّذِي قُلْتَ حَلَالٌ حَلَالٌ وَلَقُلْتُ أَنَّ الَّذِي قُلْتَ حَرَامٌ حَرَامٌ. I swear to God, Abdullah ibn Abu Ya'fur is a very respected Shia, very respected companion of Imam Sadiq al-Islam, narrated lots of hadith. He says, I said to my Mawla that if you cut up a pomegranate, Rumana means anar, pomegranate, into two, and say to me, half of it is haram and the other half is halal, I swear to God, I would say the half you told me is haram, that is haram, and the half you told me is halal, that is halal. And Imam said, Rahimakallah, may Allah have mercy on you. Do we have the absolute knowledge to challenge? Who can challenge their rulings? Only someone who has absolute knowledge can come up and challenge their rulings. Do we know everything that we can come up and challenge what they have said? It's because of our arrogance that we do taslim. It's that we leave taslim. It's because of our arrogance that we turn our backs to the rulings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And it's because of the love of dunya that we neglect our taslim. Al-Islam huwa taslim. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun al-musallimun. Those mu'mins who have taslim, they are the ones who became successful. Doesn't matter, maybe they were born to kafir parents. If they have taslim, it's fine. Anybody and everybody who is ready to surrender to the word of truth and the command of Allah is a Muslim and will be resurrected as a Muslim. And anybody who is not ready to surrender to the command of Allah, according to the definition of Imam Ali alayhi salam, is not a Muslim here and will not be a Muslim there. Whether he's born to Muslim parents or not doesn't matter. Because the statement of Imam Ali can never be a lie. Al-Islam huwa taslim. Doesn't matter which parents are we born to. Do we have taslim to the command of Ahlul Bayt and Quran? Even we find some of the kuffar short taslim towards Ahlul Bayt. When the heads of Shuhada were being carried and Khuli La'anatullahi Alayh was the head of that 500 strong army carrying the heads of the Shuhada, the riwayat tells us, narrated by Sayyid ibn Ta'us Rahmatullah Alayh in his book Kitabul Luhuf, one of the very authentic books of Maqtal, he says that they stopped at a place during their travel, and when they stopped there, on one of those stops where they stayed in the night, and there was a rahib, there was a priest who came out of his synagogue, a rabbi, and he found that there is a noor coming out of one of those heads. He never saw such a noor coming out. He came to and asked, who is the head of this army? And they told him the head is Khuli. And he came and said, whose head is this that has such a noor coming out? And he was told, it's the head of Hussein. He said, who is Hussein? He said, it's the head of Hussein, the son of Fatima. Who was Fatima? He said, Fatima was the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, Messenger of Islam. He said, so you killed the grandson of the Prophet? And this is the head of the grandson of the Prophet? He said, can you please let me borrow this head for a night? He said, no. We need to take reward. We need to get money. We need to take reward from Yazid for bringing the head of Hussein. He said, how much reward do you expect? He said, 10,000 silver coins. 10,000 dirhams. He said, okay, I'm going to give you 10,000 silver coins, but just give this head for one night to me. Look at the taslim in some of those kuffar. So, he took the head, the riwayat says, Sayyid ibn Ta'us has narrated, this rahib, he took the head of Imam Hussein, and he took it inside his synagogue, and he washed the head with the water of gulab, you know, arqa gulab, the rose water. He washed the head very nicely. And he addressed his head, can you please talk to me? Can you please speak up to me? Because I would like to embrace Islam. I would like to embrace your religion. Please be a witness before Allah and before your grandfather that I won't like to accept Islam with your hands. And the head spoke with the miracle, and Imam alayhi salam spoke to that rahib, and that I will be a witness. And Imam spoke, and he recited the kalima before Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This was the taslim found in the head of rahib. And we find another person, when this caravan went forward, and they entered into the palace of Yazid, we find that there was the ambassador of Rome, sitting inside the palace of Yazid. And he also inquired the similar question when Yazid was insulting the head of Imam Hussein, striking with the wood, striking the lips of Imam Hussein with a wood. And the ambassador of Rome complained and said, "Whose head it is?" When he was told it's the head of the grandson, he shouted, "You guys killed the son of your holy prophet? How shameful it is that you have killed the grandson of your holy prophet. And the people in my country respect me so much because I belong from the lineage of Prophet Dawood." And Yazid said that, "Well, if you support Hussein ibn Ali, you will also be killed." And Rahib said, "Even if you kill me, I will not stop supporting that. You know what? I saw in my dream last night that the Prophet of Islam came into my dream. And Prophet said to me and talked to me about the fact that I will be sent into the paradise. I was shocked why the Prophet of Islam is coming in my dream. And now I would realize that because of this, I will go into the paradise." He just jumped forward and he took the head of Imam Hussein into his lap. And he said, "Assalamu alayka ya Hussein ibn Ali. My salam to you, O Hussein. Please be a witness that I'm accepting Islam and I'm accepting your grandfather." And that guy was killed by the people of Yazid. And he showed such a taslim towards Imam Hussein. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawmiz zalimin.
وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما قائد المسلمين الولي الفقيه اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one سورة الفاتحة for مرحومة أشرف النساء بيغم and is the daughter of Sayyid Ali Reza Marhum. Let's recite. They have requested for dua of sihat for these two. Please recite the Ayatul Kareema 5 times for their shifa. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ 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 اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المؤمنين والمؤمنات خاصة هذين المريضين بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.